What is happening? It's the Nintendo PowerCast, and we are doing a bonus episode with the devs from Dire Vengeance. So, before we get started, I got to say, what's up, Johnny?
What's going on? How's everybody doing?
So good.
I got my hammer.
Oh, your hammer. God of War. Crawler, show your hammer. There you go. Got the hammer as well. How you doing?
Pair of hammers.
Doing good, Crawl, coming at you.
Cheesy, what's up?
What's going on, Cheese Curds? My hammer is in a toolbox. I didn't know we were bringing hammers.
Yeah,
to the show.
I forgot mine. Mine also. So
yeah, sorry about that.
And then we got Carl, one of the devs. What's going on, Carl?
Hello, just hanging out.
And Adam, how are you?
Doing well. Happy to be here.
Hey, we are glad you're here. Well, we're gonna just dive right in. We're gonna Carl. Maybe we'll start with you a little bit. Like, sure. Give us some of the backstory on Dire Vengeance.
Well, it was something we cooked up after I got laid off from Zynga. I think Adam and I got together and we were eating shrimp. And we decided maybe we should make a video game together.
I hear that's the best like food to eat before developing a video game. Is that true?
Yeah, definitely. What I remember most was when Adam eats shrimp, like... It was like, what was it? Those, it was the Cajun shrimp. Mm-hmm. Like all the juice was like dripping down his elbow.
That's like... not specific to just shrimp, though.
I think that was my most vivid memory about that moment. Yeah, but we wanted to make like a Castlevania type game, like at that moment. Wow, that's how we started making that game.
Very cool. Adam, tell us a little bit about the main character.
The main character? Oh man, I should probably have Carl do that because the main character is really Pandora. She's really his brainchild. So I think I'll have Carl
pass it off. That's cool. Pandora. Yeah, that's cool.
I just drew a bunch of characters, and then she's the one that looked the coolest.
Gotta go with that. I mean,
I named her after my cat. That's pretty cool.
It's got a
She's way better than what we started with, because the first thing that we started with when we like first prototyped anything out was like this weird robot that looked like the robot from Short Circuit.
Yeah, and it ran around in like Minecraft land.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. That's pretty cool to hear about the progression of Like, obviously, you mentioned Castlevania. You know, there's I was picking up some like Mega Man vibes, a little bit of Contra, even. Definitely. Like, yeah. Adam, what were some of the games like maybe from your childhood and stuff that helped inspire this game?
All of them, all the games that you remember, they're all in there. I think, you know, Gradius helped inspire the. Power up bar, the power up system that we use. So I think it's kind of unique for a platformer to have a power up system like that. Castlevania, obviously, Ninja Gaiden. Originally, Carl, I think, wanted Ninja Gaiden to really influence how the player moved, and it did. We gave a lot of control to the player, and then we added even more controller and made her be more like Strider, so you could run and slash and all that kind of stuff. But Contra, you mentioned Contra. I'm trying to even think of what else there is. Oh, Street Fighter. Street Fighter is informed some of the bosses in there. There's like so many references in there that it's really difficult to name them all.
Yeah, the double jump is from Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. A lot of the art styles from Castlevania and Super Ghouls and Ghosts in general.
I did get that vibe. I grew up on Super Ghouls and Ghosts, and yeah, I get that that feeling from it. So
yeah, I love that.
Yeah, with all the weapons and stuff that you can pick up, definitely Castlevania vibes there with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the spread shots like from Contra.
Mm-hmm. That's the spread shot was the first thing I was like, oh, there's some Contra right here. Like I love me some Contra. So.
Yeah, we're actually discussing adding another character in there eventually that would play like a Contra character. So right now you use the sub weapons and they use the mana, right? Like in Castlevania.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about making a character where you'd have unlimited use of all of the sub weapons, but you die in one hit.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty fun.
Interesting.
Like Contra, right?
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Right? Blasting crazy weapons, the spread shots, ultra powerful, but you die in one hit. So that's the drawback of having that powerful of a weapon. So.
That's a very cool idea. Johnny, you got any specific questions that you'd like to ask these guys?
So before we started recording, Adam had mentioned a pretty cool feature on the Steam version. I don't know if you want to admit it, but like, are there any things in the game that are like an Easter egg for you personally?
I think that there's a lot in there.
There's a ton of Easter eggs in there.
Yeah, there's quite a few in there. I think that Carl put in both of our Zodiacs in there. And then there's, at one point I said, hey Carl, can we put in this particular symbol? I don't know if I'm allowed to say what symbol it is, but it was a particular symbol, and normally that symbol has a letter associated with it. And so he put it in, and when I went to go look at it, it had my initials on it. And I was like, oh, that's rad. So it's just like a lot of little things in there. There's one section that's kind of hidden where there's a like a half a zombie hanging from a hook, you know, doing this thing and moaning. And I saw it and Carl said, oh, I put that in specifically for you, Adam. there's that zombie dangling from that hook. That's just for you. I'm like, nice. I dig it.
Yeah, we put a lot of just secrets in general in the game too that are like probably too obscure, but it's fun to hide them in there.
Yeah,
like there's this one where you have to like go up this like elevator, and then right when it gets at the very apex of its rise, you have to jump off of it back down from where you came, like in this crazy obstacle course of like spikes, and then reach the bottom, which is a pit of death. But then there's a warp zone that just appears there. No one is ever gonna find that.
I'm gonna look for
now.
It now.
Now I was gonna say, I'm gonna go look for it now.
Yeah, but it was fun to put in.
Carla, how about you? You got any questions for him? Or Cheesy, go ahead.
I was just gonna say I love that sense of discovery, and I that's like I think what gamers really look for, and like the ones that have been playing for years know that okay, there's a secret. Like if there's an item that I can see but I can't get to it, I'm gonna find out how I can get to it. And I think you guys did that perfectly with just discovering and just being curious.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, we tried to, you know, every single level has two weapons that are specific to that level. One that you get at the end of the level, and one that you have to go find. And so,
and we try really to make powerful.
That. Yeah, they're pretty powerful, but we try to make it clear to the player that those things exist somewhere, so they can go and search them out and find them.
Yeah, and we tried to make like pretty interesting ways of reaching them. Like at level 7, spoiler alert, there's a statue in level 7 that's pointing to a kneeling statue, another kneeling statue. And then there's another empty pedestal next to it. So if you kneel on that for like a few seconds, it's kind of like a shout out to like Castlevania 2 and 1 and 2, where it teleports you somewhere else after you kneel there for a second. Yeah. That's one of the secrets. So we put a lot of stuff like that in the game.
That's cool.
That's cool.
How about
now? You've got to be good enough to get to level 7.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't gotten.
Yeah, look, 6 and 7 get pretty crazy.
Yeah, how far have you guys got so far?
Ugh. I think most of us have gotten to 3.
I got to 2.
How far people get? Yeah, it's 3. Yeah. I compared it to like the old. We nerfed it a lot. Actually, it used to be a lot harder. I think it's like comparable to. Like
how fast can you beat this game? Like, do you know it back and forth? Like,
I've beaten it so many times. I could beat it in my sleep. Like, without dying.
So you're saying we're bad? That's what.
No, we
need to eat. I was say, you talked about kneeling on the statue. Do you have any back doors that allow you to kind of get around a little bit faster?
Actually, we don't have any warp zones, huh, Adam?
No.
Maybe some slight. If you get some sub weapons, like you, there's this one boss you can skip, but that's it.
There's two bosses that you can skip. Too many bosses that you can skip.
You can skip the Skullipede. What was the second one, Adam?
Popobawa. The first mini boss.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. The first mini boss and the one in level 5. Yeah. Only if you get the sub weapons. But we don't really put any warp zones because the reason for that is when I watch speedruns, I love watching speedruns. Actually, I made this game catering to speedrunners. I hate warp zones because it makes the run so fast. So I didn't want to watch a series of warp zones. And I want to see the whole game.
Yeah.
But you can beat the game from beginning to end in less than an hour.
Yeah, I bet you can get like 36 minutes is probably the best we've ever done, right?
I think so.
So we should look for this for on Games Done Quick.
I smell another bet cheesy.
We have like there's a secret at the end of each level. I think the fastest I've ever done it was like 42 or something, but Adam's I think done it at 36. But there's a secret at the end of the level. There's two secrets. There's like a golden ring and then a blue orb inside the golden ring. If you get the golden ring, that means you got it at almost optimal like robotic speed. And if you get the blue orb, that means you got there like relatively quickly. And you get like an achievement for getting the blue orb, and the gold orb is like ultra secret, so like we didn't even put an achievement for that. But if you want, it's like kind of like a tease to see if anyone would want to speedrun the game. That's why we put those little power ups in there. I think they give you like how many lives do they give you again? And I forgot.
I don't remember. The gold ring gives you like a bunch of life. Refills your life, refills your mana, and then gives you a couple lives. I think maybe two lives.
Well, the blue orb gives you 70 orbs.
Yeah.
Like total.
So the rich get richer. The people that don't need it get everything.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And the overflow. So you know, like in Castlevania, like if you get 99 hearts, that it doesn't do anything anymore. So we have this converter where like if you have an overflow of orbs, it goes into your gem counter, which if you get 100 of those, you get an extra life, kind of like standard. Mario coins. So if you get that unit, then there's always a reason to pick up every power up. So because we like
to say, I did read that when I did the tutorial about gems, 100 gems giving you a lot.
That's cool. You read the tutorial.
Well, so I want to bring that up because last week we were talking about tutorials on the show and what is the right way to get a gamer to either go into the tutorial or just to explore on their own, because I think most people just want to get into the game without playing the tutorial. But if you don't know how to play it, you're probably not going to enjoy it. So what was the decision behind letting players just go for it? And then if they have the option to go play the tutorial if they wanted.
If you're an athlete, you know, the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
I just hate tutorials, so yeah. I wanted to give the option to skip it. Yeah. I mean, it won't even bother you. And then I want you to go into the game to get your ass kicked, and then that's going to make you want to go read the tutorial.
Yep.
Uh-huh. I think my buddy
I couldn't beat the first boss, and I was like, I had to power up my sword or whatever, and I learned that from the tutorial because I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I wanted to like make people want to read the tutorial. That's why I didn't start, but I was having an argument with my friend today who he said he got through halfway through the game without knowing that you could choose which power up you wanted.
Yeah.
When you fill up the whole bar, you could pick which power up you wanted. He didn't know you could do that because he didn't read the tutorial. And he's like, right. You should make it so that it like forces you to go to tutorial. Like, because that's what games do nowadays. I'm like, I don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that either. I mean, I hate playing tutorials.
Yeah. Well, he did also tell me today that you could soft lock yourself in the tutorial by breaking open the there's a section that teaches you how to use the sub weapons. Mm-hmm. If you break open that it's a hammer, you can break it open and let it disappear, but you need it to pass that section.
Yeah, because <so. laughs> yeah, they have like a 10 second despawn, right? If they sit on the ground for a while. Yes.
Because it passes through walls, and I'm trying to show you that certain weapons pass through walls. Mm-hmm. So if you break it, you can't hit through this wall anymore, where you have to break open this statue that opens up this door. And if you let it disappear, you're just stuck there, and you have to. But the thing is, it's super easy to get out of the tutorial.
Yeah, you just press start and then you leave.
Yeah, so we were. I actually want you guys' opinion on this. Should we leave that as is, or should we have that hammer respawn? Because it also teaches you that weapons disappear.
It's a tutorial, so I think you should update it to say you need to press start and exit.
No, it says in the top, like always. Yeah, it says at the top, always says press start to exit tutorial.
Josh doesn't read any video games, so
that's true.
I didn't do the tutorial. I'll just let you know right now.
These are the things you have to struggle with as devs. Like, should we leave it like that, or should we have the hammer respawn after? Because everything else in the level respawns, like all the power ups and stuff.
I give them a message or something that's just like,
you're stuck here. It's a soft lock and it's the tutorial. I mean, it's all good.
Troll them a little harder, I think, you know. Like, have the music change, have the music change to like some like soft rock or something if they're stuck in that room long enough.
What, like, if something comes in and kills you
there instantly? You go. Yes.
What, it disappears?
Yes.
Instead of summoning another hammer, this Grim Reaper comes in and like kills you like in one hit.
Yeah.
And perfect. You can't avoid it, you just die.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of
how hard is that to code into the game?
It's pretty easy.
We got a Grim Reaper that we could make do
just
that.
Make it the last thing in the tutorial. Just
no, the giant skull. We'll have a giant skull come in, and it's like, it'll just teleport in and then swoop down and just kill you.
Or they get to the end of the tutorial and then they die, and there's a message that's like, you didn't pick up the hammer. Pick up the hammer, and you won't have this problem.
Yeah, maybe that'd be a better idea than putting another hammer on Adam, and more exciting to put in.
I guarantee the fact, everybody's going to be trying it now that's listening to this. They're going to be like, okay, wait, we're waiting for the tweet. When's the update? You know?
So like the game's been out now for like what, two weeks on Switch at least. So like what is a post launch look for you guys? Like, what, obviously you're talking about soft lock in the tutorial and getting feedback and stuff. Like what do you guys focus on going back and tweaking? And you talked about adding another character. Is that kind of what you guys have in store?
Well, we've been working on the game for a long time already. So
yeah, I think we're going to take a little break.
Yeah, we need a little bit of a break. Like, stuff that needs to be fixed, we're going to go in and fix. You know, if there's any bugs, any major bugs or anything like that, or anything that we think needs to be fixed, like maybe the hammer in the tutorial, then we're going to go in and fix it. But probably no major updates for a little while.
We were still doing minor like balance changes. Like, it never ended. Like,
yeah,
we did it for like months on end, like tweaking like boss HP and like indications of where like platform should be. Things like that, like mark, so you could kind of see an indication where I try to make it so you don't do a blind jump. Just get rid of as much of that as you can, but it's kind of hard in certain instances.
No Mario Lost Levels type jumping.
Yeah. Well, there are some that are intentional for secrets and stuff like that.
That's good.
Yeah.
We nerfed this game a lot, actually. Like, there's some levels that we like cut in half because they're just dragged on for so long.
Well, part of the problem is that as we were developing it, we were playing it all the time, checking to see how things worked, how they were balanced. But when you're playing like one boss and balancing that one boss, and that's all that you're doing for like weeks, you get really good at that boss. And so, mm-hmm. you get an unrealistic sense of what's doable.
You get out of touch, completely out of touch.
Totally out of touch. So there have been like lots of times where we make the boss super hard and then come back 6 months later and like play through the whole game and we can't beat it. And we're like, oh my God, how can we expect anybody else to play this game? And so then we have to nerf the whole thing, or we, give it to a friend and let them play and they just get wrecked.
Like, yeah, I think the stupidest design decision I made was the zombies, like when you kill them, mm-hmm. The top part breaks off and they jump, it jumps at you and you just get hurt. Like, it's really hard to avoid. So you have like half a second to like react to that, but there's no way but I knew that the top part comes off and attacks you, right? So I knew automatically like to avoid it because I made the thing. Because I got bored of just killing zombies that stood there and walked around, and you just slash it and it dies. The standard zombie. So I wanted to like mix things a little more like spicy. But it was when I saw anyone else play it, they always got hit by that thing and died. So yeah, I got rid of that. That's where that hanging zombie guy came from. It's like, what am I going to do with this piece? I'm going to stick it on this hook.
Oh, so you use the animation and just stuck him on a hook?
Yeah, you can still kill him. And I think we put one instance of that crawling thing, not breaking off a zombie, but it's like running around like in the cave level. One thing I also really like, which inspired me from Super Castlevania, there's this one enemy that's like this like worm in a hidden level. No, there's two of them actually. Yeah, so there's this weird worm that like crawls around in a hidden level. And there's only one instance of that enemy in the whole game. And there's also like that, it was like a grave digger or something, right? He was like ghost of a grave digger. And it only occurs once in the game. He's like walks around. And if you kill him, he like kneels down and cries. I always thought that was super awesome. So we put like a few of those enemies in there too that occur one time. Yeah, that's one of my inspirations.
That's amazing. I'm very curious about the music. Like, are both of you guys kind of metalheads? And like, is this music that you guys created, or do you guys play, or like what I want some backstory.
Well, actually you want to talk about it, Anna?
No, he's your buddy.
Oh yeah. So actually the person I was arguing with about the tutorial was the musician. Yeah. He's one of my closest friends. His name's Who Man. And he's, he plays a lot of metal, but right now he's in like a 90s cover band called, what was that? What was his band name again? It was My So-Called Band. Yeah, so he plays like 90s grunge, like Nirvana and Stone Temple Pilots and Pearl Jam.
Oh, yeah.
And Metallica, yeah. So that's what he's been doing. We didn't know where we were going to get the music. I think at one point we're like, we'll just learn how to make music, and we're just making like the worst music ever. But I'm like, I just asked Who Man to make us some music, and he did. Yeah, he just
gets your blood pumping. So
yeah, the guy,
he did a great job. Like, it's amazing.
That guy's ultra talented. Yeah, like he's a programmer, but he also has a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And he's really good at
fix the tutorial.
Muay Thai. That's what he was screaming. No, he has a lot of requests, let me tell you. Like,
I would listen to him.
But I don't agree with like a lot. I put in nearly everything that he asked for, but there are certain things I will not budge on. Like, if you die, he said you should keep the last ultra powerful weapon that you got. Which I'm like, no way, dude. Because like, you only get to use it for a little bit amount of time. Like, once you die, it's like a waste. I'm like, dude, it's so powerful. And also like nullifies the design of putting certain weapons in certain areas, like the standard weapons. The standard weapons are like specifically designed to pass the level. And that also like cheapens when you find that
weapon. That
super weapon.
Yeah.
You have to be good enough to use it and keep it. So yeah, I'm not going to do that. And with the tutorial thing, it's still debatable. What did like force someone to go through the? Oh, there's this other suggestion that he had. Apparently, the confirm button and the exit button is reversed on our game. Is that true?
B is A is B, but that there's some games that just are mapped that way, and I think Josh really liked it, right?
Yeah, you excited? I got Super Mario Kart on my arm here, and that's how you start Super Mario Kart, by pressing B. So I was like, yeah. I thought it was super metal that you guys left B as the start button. I was like, let's go.
Yeah, I'm gonna call him up and be like, hey, Mario Kart.
Well, and that was a thing going around on Twitter like 2 weeks ago. It was like somebody fixed the controllers and just made it north, south, east, west, right? Stop with the B, A, X, and Y, right. All reverse, yeah. In different directions. X is in three different spots on three different controllers.
Right. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah, my suggestion is don't. I'm not even gonna say fix it because it isn't broken. You know what I mean? Like I think it's yeah, great.
We'll keep it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, that's how passionate he is about it. So he made the music. Who Man did?
Yeah. So He's invested.
I know you guys are on Steam and Switch. Are you guys on any other platforms?
Just those two for right now. We've been talking about whether or not to.
We do have a Xbox. Yeah, we do have an Xbox version like ready to go. Basically, we've even begun optimizing it. Right, Adam?
Yeah.
We're still considering
to optimize for each platform.
Yes,
it was a pain in the ass to optimize for the Switch.
Yeah. There was a lot of things we had to like tone down. I don't think you could, for the most part, you can't really tell the difference between the two versions. But we had to remove like a lot of lava particles and clouds and things like that.
I was just looking at it on the eShop. It's what, 1.5 gigs? Is that pretty compressed down? Like,
yeah. We compressed like all the images and nearly everything we possibly could.
Yeah.
I think the initial size of just the artwork, I think we got rid of like 80% of the size after post-compression.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
just to get it like working on the Switch. So on the Steam version, we have a bunch of parallax in level 6. And it was like 20 layers of like insanity, of like crazy, like color changing, like clouds, like moving around. And on the Switch version, it's just like we took a screenshot of that and then we pasted it in back just to make it so that like it would like run, because like the cloud sprite is massive because it slowly would rotate. It's like a giant circle of like intricately painted like clouds that would rotate slowly, and that would make the Switch go crazy. It would like smoke would start like rising out of the. We had to.
It's trying. Okay.
Yeah. When we first ported it on the Switch, it was like unplayable.
Yeah.
We were like sweating bullets. We're like, oh my God, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And then like, yeah. And optimizing it was like a nightmare, just getting it running. But we finally got it to like 60 frames per second at the end. Is like, I was so relieved. Like after we got it running, there's this one level where like, maybe we just need to turn off the background, but Adam figured out a way to like, so like there's this last part of level 7 where we put in every single enemy in the game.
Every
single non-boss in the game. We're just like, we're going to put every single enemy in the game, just like throw everything at them. Like it's crazy, like things happening. But then it's trying to load every single enemy in the game simultaneously. And that was like.
Did it run like GoldenEye on Temple?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was like Chuck. It's like 40 frames per second. Sparks were coming out.
But sounds Adam like a Mario this- Maker level.
Yeah. But Adam designed this proximity loader where like the enemies would only load in around like a certain bubble around the main character, and yeah, that made it run at 60 frames. You put the background back in. That was a big relief.
Yeah. Yeah, we wanted to keep it looking as good on the Switch as it looked on Steam, or as it looks on Steam.
Yeah, there's like some optimization things that we did on Switch where we wanted the gameplay to be identical or as close as possible from the Switch and the Steam version. So we actually took those changes and put it on the Steam version just so that they would be more similar.
Very cool. Well, Carl, Adam, thank you guys so much for taking the time to sit down with us. And honestly, hearing the backstory behind this game makes me that much more excited to jump in and play it. And I think we all recommend this game. If you guys are listening to this, go and check out Dire Vengeance. If you like metal, if you like retro style games, it is right up your alley. I kid you not. So you guys will probably appreciate this. Contra 4, I had an ongoing bet with anybody on my DS. I'm like, I will give you $20 if you can beat the first level and you can use all your continues and you can try it on easy. And I never paid that $20 out. So I got to the point to where I could play through those first few levels without even dying, right? And so right now I'm still like, there's a boss that's just kicking my ass in Dire Vengeance, but like learning the pattern, figuring it out, like it's old school, and you gotta take some time to get the patterns down, and yeah. You can't just what threw me off is the first two levels I ran through, and like was just like flying, and I died once because I didn't realize which one my health bar was and I was just kind of like I wasn't even really paying attention, and then now this boss is just like, it's like, no, slow down. You get
is that level 3 boss?
Figure this out. It's a giant face with a knife that comes out of its mouth. Okay. So.
Oh,
Level 2 boss.
Actually, yeah. Contra 4 is one of my favorite games.
Love it.
And I can beat it on the hardest setting without dying once. And I also got like the challenge mode, which is like super challenging. Like, like the challenge mode where like you have to unlock that like after you beat it. Because there's a challenge mode where like there's like ultra hard challenges, like survive this boss with only using this dicky weapon or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. I beat all those too. I like maxed that out. Like, I was pretty proud of that achievement.
You should be. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that game.
So what I've learned from this conversation is that Josh owes you $20.
Yeah.
There we go.
You bought the game, so you know.
There we go. Awesome. Awesome. Well, guys, thanks so much for taking the time. Is there any socials that you guys want to throw out that people can follow and stay up to date with what's, you know, if there's going to be some additions to the game or anything like that?
We're mostly on Twitter. So at Magic Shot Games is primarily where we post, but we're on Instagram also at Magic Shot Games. But mostly it's Twitter.
All right, guys, make sure to give them a follow on Twitter, and we will see you guys later. Thanks again.
Cool. Thank you for having us.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you.